recording.
What is what? Hotel California? Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Who's all these people talking?
It's at a concert. It's the only recording I could find.
Oh. Is this somebody's phone?
I don't know what it is. Okay, that, you know what? I can't even tell what he's saying.
That's not the Eagles.
No. Good observation. You win nothing.
Well.
Well, we had, you remember when Gracie was here?
Yes, the other day, yes, we had that conversation about Hotel California. They thought it was about the devil.
Yeah, well, that showed up on the forums.
Oh, yeah?
Because Stavine actually posted that about it being devil-worshipping, and he posted some, basically a very well-known rumor out there, or what do you call those? Urban myth.
Mm-hmm.
Urban myth. So he posted that and about after listening to that podcast. Mm-hmm. And so I went out and found, you know, like some real, I found like, where Don Henley was talking about the real meaning of the song and all that kind of stuff. There was actually a 60 Minutes interview about devil worship. And anyway, he was on there and talking about how, you know, that song and everything. And so, hold on. Oh, come on now. Don't do me that way. I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw this computer through the wall. It's giving me some fits. And I know it's not the computer's fault, right? That's what we always say.
It's all Adam's fault.
It is all Adam's fault. This thing worked fine till Adam was here.
Mm-hmm. Mine's working crazy. Very slow, too.
Oh, here it is right here. So.
And what's with the new operating business on my computer? It looks different. It's very slow.
Are you talking about the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make it go away.
So Gracie was going to call in and sing. Gracie was going to call in and sing this song.
Hotel California?
Right. And that's okay. And that's why Stavine said we probably shouldn't because this devil worshiping thing. And so I posted that it wasn't a devil worshiping thing. And then, but I also posted.
And then Dave Henley called?
No. And then I also posted, but it is about drugs. And it's not really about Christ, so.
Well, no, it's not about Christ, but it is about drug addiction, right?
Why waste your talent on that? Well, then, John Wilkerson posted the lyrics to Hotel Can't Afford Ya by Apologetics, which is what I was trying to play. Oh,
funny.
So it says, since you can't understand them singing it, from a dark desert highway, we pulled into the inn. Rome called for a census. I was in Bethlehem. You can kind of if you remember, keep the Hotel California song in your head. And up from the distance, a star was giving me light. My wife was heavy because her child was due. We had to stop for the night. So I stood in the doorway of Bethlehem Hotel. And I was thinking to myself, I hope the heaven, they can give us some help. Instead of heaven, hell.
Yeah.
But they told us no can do, and they sent me away. There's a place around the corner, though, where you can both stay. Welcome, but the hotel can't afford you. Such a lovely place, but we're out of space. Rent out a room, and the hotel can't afford you. It's the time of year with the census here. And it goes on, it goes to the whole. You mean read the? You mean sing the whole thing?
Please don't.
Also, I don't mind singing the whole thing. My wife was definitely gifted.
That's good. We get the idea. Lord. Okay, so yeah,
it goes to the whole nativity scene.
Can't believe Don Henley didn't call.
Maybe when he hears this podcast, he'll call.
He's got a new album out. Do you know that?
Expecting you. He's got a new album out. John Mellencamp's got a new album out.
I know. You do? It's not all political like his last one.
I don't remember his last one.
It was all political.
Really? Mm-hmm. No, this one's really good. It's called Love, Death,
How come I haven't
freedom.
Heard it? Did you get it?
No, I haven't bought it. I haven't any money to spend on albums.
Okay.
Albums are expensive.
That's right. You don't download them anymore.
I found out my place where I was paying like 10 cents a song instead of a dollar a song. I found out it was illegal. So,
oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, bummer.
So
he quit doing that.
Yeah.
Because you're a good citizen.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the time.
Conscience and stuff. Hate it.
Conscience? Yeah.
I didn't do that. That was rolling down the freeway with a rag.
That's how long it took.
I got a shuffle on the radio with rat and bass sound. I got two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night. Oh, yeah. Two blind squirrels in the morning. Radio on demand. It's all right. And on today's show, I don't know what we're going to do. I think we're going to talk about stuff. Stuff that's going on. Stuffs. Yeah.
Two blind squirrels in the morning. People radio on demand. It's all right.
First thing on the agenda is tomorrow. Now, wait. Wait. By the time you hear this, it'll be after the fact.
It'll be Saturday. No, this is Friday's show.
No, Friday's show is the 1,000th show. That was last week. This is Monday's show. It's very confusing. I'm very excited about tomorrow, which is Friday of your last week. Does that make sense?
Gotcha.
Because the 1,000th show took place.
Yes.
1,000 shows. Brian Bridges wants me to take all of the shows, 1,000 shows, and put them on DVD or CD or something like that. And then, you know, make them available for sale.
Okay. Well, so then people could just listen to them over and over and over again?
I guess. I don't know why on earth people would want to do that. But anyway, I'll send him to Brian Bridges because he has contributed so much to the show.
He has.
So I'll send him a copy.
Of all 1,000 shows.
If he promises not to use them against me in a court of law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better get that in writing.
Okay, yeah, I think it's a good idea. So.
So I got an email.
You did?
Yes. From a friend who... the Lord back in the day, the Lord said, no, he's not for you.
Because you wanted to marry him.
I did.
You wanted to marry him.
He was a very nice boy. Anyway, he's now a missionary with...
you would look very different today.
With four children. And he was in the Ukraine for... Oh, gosh. They were in the Ukraine... from 90 to 2007, right?
Right.
For 17 years. And then in 2007, they moved to Kyrgyzstan, where they are now. And he is trying to get a visa to go into Pakistan as well. But they live in Kyrgyzstan right now.
Okay.
So, all, you know, over by Afghanistan and all the scary places in the world. Yeah, that's where they are. Anyway,
Fun.
Where all the stands are. That's how I remember all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got an email.
Can't pronounce a stan.
No, can't. Muslimistan. They send out a newsletter once a month.
Yeah.
And they've gotten all new fancy fangled. Anyway, but then he sends out an email just to certain people. And so we still get his special emails. And
especially
the last newsletter was just talking about how great things are happening. If they got their license, they had waited for a long time to get a license to be able to.
They were illegal there for a while.
They were illegal and they were having to hide. And they finally got the government to, you know, give them permission to have church. And mostly in Kyrgyzstan, the issue is that they won't persecute you, but they are definitely not going to do anything to help you because they don't want to get on the bad side of the Muslims because the Muslims will hurt them. And so they're not at the place in Kyrgyzstan where they will hurt the Christians, but they will definitely will do nothing to help them. So anyway, things have been growing. The church has been growing. People are getting saved. He's been doing these great conferences. And the church in Ukraine is growing. It's doing awesome. And he's trying to get ready to go to Pakistan. And he's done these great trips. And his kids are doing really well. Mm-hmm. And they've all been born and grown up in
different
Ukraine.
Countries. Yeah.
No, in Ukraine. They were all born
in Ukraine. Yeah, okay.
In Ukraine.
And I thought she flew back here to have the last.
The last one, she was in the United States to have it. And she was so scared to have the baby in the United States because she wasn't used to it. But it was
way more expensive, I'm sure.
It was cool. Yeah, exactly. For missionaries with no insurance. Anyway, so he sends out this email that says over the past few weeks, their team has been bombarded with sickness. That they've had everything from German measles to chicken pox to stomach sicknesses, of which they have no idea of their origin. The children have been really susceptible. They have recurring bouts of the same symptom same illness over and over again. He says all this is occurring at the same time that the Lord is giving great victories. They had several people accept the Lord at service last week. Another church is being planted. They're making weekly trips to a village that's like 3.5 hours away. They're having open doors are being opened for them to minister in local prisons, so on and so forth. Okay.
Wow,
so obviously
greatness.
He says the Lord is at work, but it seems that Satan is attempting to stop this work with attacks on our health. Please battle with us in prayer for work that the Lord is doing here and for our health. And his title was, "We Wrestle Not Against Flesh and Blood." And lately we've had a lot of things come up about spiritual warfare and wrestling not against flesh and blood.
A lot of things.
When we were in Wisconsin, Brad sat and talked with my dad for quite a while about dad's experiences with
deliverance.
And
he doesn't like to use the word. Now, when he says deliverance, he's more talking about sort of an exorcism, but that's a very
Catholic
term.
But he doesn't necessarily feel like they're possessed, right?
Right. He doesn't use the word exorcism. He uses deliverance. And he talks about getting the demon out of their
life,
out of their influence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where he's coming from. I want to be very specific here about what he talks about here. He doesn't believe in he doesn't believe that a Christian can be possessed,
right?
In the way that a non-Christian can be possessed, because he believes a Christian is possessed by God. However, he does believe, and this is a little different than most people, he does believe that a Christian can be
tormented.
Tormented, yeah. The Christian can have a demon in his life that is affecting that Christian, because the Christian's given him control, because mm-hmm. the Christian has not surrendered some part of his life.
Like a Christian who is still a drug addict or...
Exactly.
Addicted to pornography or
right.
whatever.
And I completely concur with this. Me and Mark had some discussion about this when he was here as well, about how
that term. Take that back. I don't like saying whatever your cross is. That doesn't fit. Never mind. Ugh, turn it out. Throw it out.
Oh, okay. Did you say something?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. Different. So me and Mark were talking about how a person can be saved, and this goes back to a belief that I have that you can be. Justification and sanctification are two different parts of salvation. We'll mm-hmm. get into that later. I want to do a show on that. But we were talking about how you can be saved, but yet not have given your life completely over to Christ, mm-hmm. that you haven't. And sometimes that takes...
Complete surrender.
Yeah. And sometimes that almost takes a baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call that a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Some people call it a complete surrender. Mm-hmm. Some people call it being completely broken. There's different ways people look at things. And that's kind of where I've been struggling with lately, because I really struggle with this coming against the devil. And we had this big talk the other night where I got all upset and angry, and we actually did another show. Who's calling?
Our neighbor.
We actually did another show where we got all flustered and frustrated with mm-hmm. each other anyway, all over again. And we had to stop and reset and figure out where we were coming from. But I've just really been struggling with spiritual warfare and coming against
mm-hmm.
things. And because for you, and our example is about all this spiritual warfare thing. One of our greatest examples is that you're on the treadmill. Tell your story. You're on the treadmill and...
Well, it seems to be that that's Satan's favorite place to attack me. Is on the treadmill when, you know, the treadmill is my prayer time. It's my time to really, you know, spend time with the Lord. But it's also because I don't always watch TV or listen to music or something. It's a lot of dead silence. Okay. So I'll be walking along and all of a sudden Satan will be like, "Oh, I bet that person didn't take what you said the way you meant it. You think they're, you know, whatever." Bring up all these things that I said and then make me second guess And then I think they think I'm stupid. And then I think that, oh, I should just set it that way. And just attack me for things that I've done or things that I've said or haven't done or haven't said. And I will get sucked in. And then all of a sudden I'll go, no, in Jesus' name, get out. I'm not talking to you. Get out. Stop. And
I don't like that tone of voice.
Get
it scares me.
The scary mom voice.
I'm afraid of hearing that one day. Get out. I'm like, what?
and that is my, it's kind of like that's my resisting. I'm resisting the devil, and now I'm gonna stand firm, and I'm gonna just start praying, Lord. Yeah. I'm giving this to you. This is, and so for me, that is how I resist and turn, and mm-hmm. go the other, and
right.
change and my thought process and change. But you don't like that.
Well,
and now that's the way I was taught my whole life. My dad always came against things. I come against this, whatever. You have the authority, as God in you has the authority, to come against these things, and the authority over your children, that you can pray over them because you, as your parents, have authority over them. Right. I mean, my parents would pray over me and would pray over my room and pray over my stuff and pray over my friends. I got everything prayed over. Yep. So that's where I'm coming from, because that's what I heard. And that's what I knew. But you don't like that.
Well, yeah. Two parts. First, I don't like that. That's not the way I understand it. That's not the way I deal with it. I look at Peter getting out of the boat. He starts to fall in the water. He doesn't come against the water. He just calls out for Jesus. Mm-hmm. I look at going into a room, and you don't come against the darkness. You just flick on the light. You focus on Christ. And so I personally don't say, get away from me, Satan, and then turn and start praying. I just turn and start praying.
Right.
And I call out for
Which
Christ.
Is perfectly fine.
Because I don't have the power. And I think part of that's because I don't think I have the strength and power to turn. I was like, just Lord, help me turn, But so that's part A. Okay.
But you're assuming that I think I do. I don't have the power to turn either. That's why I say get out in Jesus' name.
Right.
It's not me. It's him in me.
But struggling with this, especially with you, but there's been a lot of this going on. They've got somebody on the forum that's really into spiritual warfare and somebody on the forum that's really not, and and trying to reconcile them and trying to just trying to really come to grips with my personal feelings about it and just all that. I think the Lord's finally got through to me, and that is that it's not about it's about the fact that the Lord through me deals with me in a different way, perhaps because of pride, perhaps because if I came against Satan, I would never follow it up with prayer. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That with me, it may be because of some type of pride issue, but he just deals with me in a different way. When the devil attacks me and the devil attacks you, the same thing happens, and that is Christ comes against the devil. Mm-hmm. How that happens and how we see that is completely different because we're completely different people and because we have completely different experiences in Christ and mm-hmm. because Christ has to use us in different ways to get through to us. Mm-hmm. And so, it's that. And I think that's a level of maturity that when you have to deal with other Christians, or when you should be loving other Christians, that we really have to put aside sometimes the issues if they're not, if they're not heretical, right?
Right.
You got to make that sort of a judgment there. But you really got to say, okay, let's set aside this thing and see each other in love, mm-hmm. and let me tell you my perspective, share with me your perspective, and maybe we can grow a little closer to the Lord, both of us. Mm-hmm. And, maybe I can see that maybe I do have the authority to come against the devil mm-hmm. as long as I'm doing that with Christ and not in myself. And maybe you can see that.
Well, I had completely understand what you're saying.
But I'm just saying.
I know.
I'm just using you and me as an example. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm just saying, then you can maybe see, in, you know, in my perspective, how, you know, you can maybe it'll strengthen something in you,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is, it is completely Christ and or whatever. So, there you go.
But I do know it is completely Christ.
Well, there you go.
I do know it's completely Christ. And so when I say it, it's not thinking that it's me. It's God in me who right. has given me the authority to say that, you know. I mean, I remember being a kid. I was, 10 maybe. And we went to Strawberry Lake. We spent every summer at Strawberry Lake from the time I was 5 to the time I was 18. Every summer for a week. We went with this huge group of people from the charismatic church in our town. Yeah. I did not grow up going to a charismatic church. Okay. That's not where we went, but these were friends that we had from different churches that were all hung out together because we all believed in the Holy Spirit and that big crazy movement going on in the 70s and 80s. And so we would go with all these people who I just adore every year to this charismatic camp. Okay. So they had this, it was the Hallelujah Hut is where the kids would go during they had a speaker for the week. And while the adults were getting, you know, their lecture, then we would go to Hallelujah Hut. Well, I remember I have a picture of me standing with a shield of faith.
Yeah.
And I remember learning at that time, you know, learning to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, you know, put on the full armor of God, you know, so that, you know, you can take your stand, so that you're ready. You know, you have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, you know, gird yourself with the sword, you know, his word. And I remember then talking to my parents about that and knowing that God has the power through me to stand against Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew as a 10-year-old that he was, you know, he was out to kill and destroy me in any way possible. You know, he can't take me because I am already the Lord's, but he's going to do anything he can to keep me from bringing anybody else to him.
Right.
And he's going to attack me in any way he can, because that's what Scripture says over and over and over again. That's his job on this earth.
He roams around
who he can devour and destroy. That's what he does.
Right.
I mean, that's his only, it's all he does around here. So, and I understood that as a 10-year-old that I had that God and me had the power to come against him, and I didn't have to be afraid of that. And so I took those lessons with me all through life, and that's where I'm coming from. I don't think it's me that has the power. It's right. God in me that has the power.
But
so that when I stand and say, enough.
But what gets me is that I don't have any fear either. I've never had fear, but I've never come against the devil.
Well, that's fine.
I know, but people say, I'm just trying to make it, I'm not trying to attack you. I'm trying to say that from my perspective,
mm-hmm.
I hear, you know, well, I don't have to be afraid because I have the authority to do this. I don't have to be afraid either.
I'm not saying that you don't. I'm just telling you that because I say that doesn't mean that I don't believe that it's God's power. So you have God's power and I have God's power, and I just have to speak it and you don't. So there you go. That's just the way I was brought up to do.
But the Lord prompts you to say that,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord doesn't prompt me to say it. That's what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And
some people do and some people don't.
But the part of spiritual warfare where I really do think, and there's
the Baptist in you, you can't help it. It's all right. I understand.
There are parts there are parts of spiritual warfare that if you don't have that perspective can be detrimental to you.
Oh my, yes.
Because then you don't understand what's happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also parts of spiritual warfare that I think can be a detriment because when you listen to people talk, for people who don't have that perspective,
yeah.
It's wrapped up in, well, I don't have to fear
power,
because
yes.
I have the power and I right. have the authority and the Lord's given right. me that, and the focus becomes you.
And well, that's all those televangelists got themselves in trouble. But but you, people have to remember all those nice little happy Southern Baptists who don't want to think about spiritual warfare, that they're getting attacked on a daily basis. And everybody, that's spiritual warfare. When you are being attacked, when those negative thoughts are coming and those things.
But it's
things,
not just negative thoughts, I don't think.
But
I think
no, it's not just negative, but those are, but that's warfare too.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And that's what I mean. People don't want to look at those little things as spiritual warfare. And that's what they are, what it is.
I think way too often we don't deal with spiritual warfare, and it becomes things like bipolarism and addiction. And I'm not saying that the Lord may have you use medication to deal with these things. But I'm also saying that these are things that can be healed and be delivered from. And some, there are different kinds of sicknesses, and you kind of know that. Mm-hmm. Some are for correction, some are for glory, some are for different things. Mm-hmm. But some of the issues we deal with today with like addiction and pornography. Well,
the afflictions, it seems like
pornography addiction or,
just addiction, drug addiction, I think, in general.
But also some psychological things like bipolarism and schizophrenia and bulimia and, you know, all these things that we see people around us all of a sudden for the last couple of months. It's just like we're surrounded by these people who all of a sudden have come out and said, suicidal thoughts, suicide. We see a family that's just plagued with suicide. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious that there's a demon. There's a demon in that family because there's no patriarch there to protect, you know. Mm-hmm. There's nobody standing up.
Well, and my dad has said, I've asked them, what is your name? What's your name? And they'll say suicide. They'll say addiction. They'll say sex. They'll say whatever.
Or sometimes they say they're not.
Or whatever they say, I'm not. He'll say, I'm not telling you.
Yeah.
I love that voice he gets. Yeah. I'm not telling. But that's exactly, he says, I'm not telling, you know?
But don't get into a conversation with them.
Yeah, he says they'll try to talk to you because then that delays the getting out. They'll want to sit and have a little conversation with you, but don't because you need to be speaking the blood of Jesus.
Right, and that's the thing is, you know, no matter what your problem is, no matter what your family's problem is, no matter what your friend's problem is, or no matter what problems that you see in your life, it's Christ. I mean. It may be, it's not Christ plus. It's not Christ and a bipolar drug. It's not Christ and, you know, something else. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's Christ that will deliver you and save you and meet you. That doesn't mean that you don't have to take diabetes medicine. Right. I mean, it does it like your dad. He goes to
the doctor. Yes, he goes to dialysis
every other day. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you don't do that. But
he still prays for healing on a daily basis.
That's right. And he will be healed. Mm-hmm. And
it's coming. It just may not come in this lifetime.
That's right. And
we'll all be healed.
So there you go. And that's all I got to say about that. Mm-hmm. How's that?
That's good.
Did we cover sufficiently? I doubt it.
No, I'm sure there's going to be.
There's going to be a thread. This is going to cause a thread.
Ooh, I can't. I don't even want to know. Whatever. But that's good. We want to. All right. You have conversation.
Yeah. We're going to spur some thought out there. And some
We don't
some
all have to agree. It's okay.
Some voicemails. Speaking of voicemails, tomorrow, much lighter show, we're going to cover some voicemails we've got this week.
Okay.
Did I tell you about the 1,000th show last week?
Yeah, you did.
We're over 1,000 shows.
I know. You've talked about that a lot.
Great. I can't believe it. It blows me away. I know. It freaks me out how much time we've wasted.
Doesn't surprise me because you talk a lot.
Colossal waste of time. So
you're saying that they're wasting their time by listening.
No, I'm not. I'm kidding.
Okay.
No. We've gotten these dear friends that are priceless.
I know.
They're worth at least 1,500 shows.
At least.
Oh yeah. So anyway, tune in tomorrow when we will have a lighter show and we'll hear from you. And among other things, if I get my computer to work, that's highly unlikely part of the possible plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So
until
tomorrow, I hope you had a good Monday. You know, Mondays aren't so bad. You can get back to the grind. But you have your cup of coffee, you have your little routine. And, Tuesdays are the bad. Yeah, Tuesdays are hard.
I don't know. Depends how you look at it.
As long as you rest on Sunday, your Monday should be good.
Yes, that's right.
Rest on Sunday, I'm telling you. The Lord gave it to you. All right.
Dios con Dios.
Dios con Dios, everybody.
Two blind squirrels are gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the Creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23. Where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. "Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior." Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.